This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Welcome back. We're at the top of the hour. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. We are outside live, right in front of the Beacon Building. We're at 814 Elm Street. It's our first summer series show, and we're having a great time. It's absolutely couldn't be any better weather, and it's nice because we're right in the shade too. The sun's not like beaming on us, so we're at the top of the hour. And Mike, would you like to? You have a
I have
rapport with Keith here, so I'm going to let you introduce him.
That's how rumors start when you say things like that.
Careful.
Wow. I'm just saying.
For years and years, this gentleman, I can call you that, right?
Loosely, yeah.
All right,
yeah.
This gentleman would appear occasionally on some other radio places I was at, and got to know him and appreciated his ease and comfort of being on air, and the fact that he is good with making things grow, and he's also an Oscar-nominated actor. But we'll get into that a little later in the broadcast, talking about Keith Savage of Grasshopper's Garden Center in New Boston. And Keith, it's so good to see you. Welcome back. It's been a long time, buddy.
Thanks. It's good to see that you're doing well and you're in a different venue now. And hey, you're living large.
Are the bags gone from under my eyes since I don't have to get up at 3 in the morning?
I don't know. It's awful sunny out here. You got to take those glasses off first.
No, that's why I wear them. So you moved from the original location. Do you still have anything going on at the first location?
No, we're totally moved.
So that's all gone.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
So you're in the new location, and I didn't realize it that you are very close to what used to be Damien's on the River. I was trying to place where in New Boston you were, and
correct.
You're across the street, right?
Yeah, we're kind of diagonal across the
street.
So
it's a different restaurant, though?
It is.
No, it's
it is.
Something else.
It is. It's just recently opened a new Mexican restaurant out there, and personal experience, it was very good.
Very nice to hear. But the whole vibe of Grasshoppers has kind of changed. I mean, yes, people can go for perennials and shrubs and outdoor plants, but you have opened up a beautiful new store. And I think your focus, as I understand it, is New Hampshire-made products.
Yeah. First and foremost, we'll always do the trees, shrubs, perennials, bark, mulch, stone, and all that. That is our staple. We are a garden center. However, the way the world is trending now, people are, like yourselves, are foodies. So we've decided to incorporate different New Hampshire-made products in our store for cooking and cookouts and fresh organic vegetables and produce and free-range chicken eggs, duck eggs.
Duck eggs?
Yeah, all available at Grasshoppers now. And we are starting to hit our stride with it. As you know, the local produce is starting to become available. It's huge right now. People want to know where their food is coming from, and we would like to know to tell them that they can come to Grasshoppers on their way down 13 and stop off and get stuff that is picked from the field that morning or a day or so old. And that's, I think, is the direction that people are going in these days.
When did you decide that this was going to be the direction? Because this has been a trend for a while, and I don't believe you were doing any of that at your old location.
No, we were limited by space and
and
resources, and now with the new store and our second season, we've expanded in that direction, and I think it was the logical place to go for us with the country setting and trying to make Grasshoppers Garden Center a destination point and give people one more reason to come out and see us.
It's been about 2 years now, so are things pretty much on schedule? Have they exceeded what you'd hoped they would be?
We could not be happier with the move, number one, and the direction that the business is going in. Very happy with our repeat customers, and you know, we got a great staff now. We've made some changes there, and
fired your brother.
No, actually, I'll give a shout out to John because he is going down to hopefully bring his second grandchild into the world here this afternoon or tonight.
So,
congratulations,
yeah,
John.
Yeah,
that's
pretty
wonderful.
Exciting to welcome another member of the Grasshopper family in. So good luck to them this afternoon. So, we're excited the direction that we're taking the store, and the feedback from the public and the local people has been really, really, really good.
So you're located in New Boston, right on Route 13.
Yes.
And where can people, you must say you have a website.
Yep, it's grasshoppersgardens.net. We also, it's 728 North River Road, which is also Route 13, New Boston, New Hampshire.
Very good. And let's talk about your store.
Sure.
So what, you brought this really nice box.
Oh, we have a little ensemble of everything in here. Yeah.
Well, you know, when I was looking through your website, you have a great website too. Very nice pictures. I can't wait to go and check it out. But I was telling Mike that I noticed this right here, spicy jalapeno dip mix.
Big hit.
Yeah, I bet it is.
Yeah, it's good. The pretty much food is local New Hampshire. There is the exception, Halliday Farms, some of our baked dips and stuff comes out of Vermont. But we definitely are trying to keep everything New England-based, if not New Hampshire. Most of the stuff, like your dips and stuff, are made right here in Manchester. We have private labeled this particular brand, but other stuff is from Hopkinton, New Hampshire, Henniker, New Hampshire. So everything is really close by. You know where it's coming from. It's like buying it from your neighbor or borrowing it from a neighbor, and that's what makes it nice.
You're a foodie yourself.
I am. I like to eat, as you can tell. I like to cook. I cook almost every night. My wife is a fantastic cook, but she's the sous chef. She keeps me on tap and keeps everything that I need, and we cook together every single night, and we really enjoy it.
What type of cooking do you like if we were to come to your house tonight for dinner, what would you have?
Oh, I can do anything on the grill. I can do a casserole. I don't like to heat the house up this time of year, so most of it's on the grill. You name it, we can do it.
I am not a griller. I just can't cook on the
Patience.
Grill. And you know, oh my gosh, if my boyfriend's listening, he will be laughing his head off right now because, I have no patience. I don't. And you're right.
I enjoy it. It's therapeutic for me. I'll go out and throw something on the grill, you know, maybe have an adult beverage and unwind. And I feel that I'm pretty good at it. My wife will hopefully attest to that. so that's that we, and it's alone time for us to get together and do
there
something. So we've incorporated eating and food and dinner as time for us as well. So it's good for both of us.
Great. Now let's go back to grasshoppers. So
sure.
You do, what other services do you do? Do you like help people with designing of their yard or?
We do. We do all of that. You can bring a picture of your home in. We can help you to design. We can walk through the garden center. If you have that one spot that you're trying to fill, look at size requirements, sun requirement, shade requirement, whatever. We're very flexible with people. Try not to dictate what they should get. Give them ideas. Let them choose. Make sure that they feel like they're involved in the project. After all, it's their money, it's their home, that we want them happy at the end of the day, because happy customers are repeat customers, that's what we're looking for.
That's right. Now, it looks like by looking at your website, you can, you know, I haven't been there, so walk me through. Like, you know, if we pull up in the car, you know, tell me what I might expect.
Well, I think you'll see a very country setting, old-style, new, but old-style post and beam barn, farmer's porch, decorated very tactfully. Shade areas for shade plants and stuff like that. Very easy to maneuver through. Neat, clean. We're sticklers on neat and clean. I don't like clutter. Come down the farmer's porch, get your eggs, your duck eggs out of the fridge. Come inside. You can look for some gifty stuff. We have some jewelry. We have lotions and soaps and just all sorts of little New Hampshire-made gifts that you can pick up for anniversaries, birthdays. And then go to the food section. Maybe you're having a cookout that night. You need some barbecue sauce or some salsa. And you need some of these dips that I brought.
Salsa right there looks really good.
Oh, yeah.
Too.
All right, let's jump into the basket.
Yeah.
Keith Savage is here from Grasshoppers Garden Center on North River Road in New Boston. So, Carol, go ahead and pull out what you like and have Keith tell you about it.
This looks fabulous.
It's local made. Three different hot, medium.
Tell us what it is.
Yeah, salsa.
Jack's ass-kicking salsa.
Yeah.
I can say that, can I?
Of course you can.
I'm just reading it.
It's not one of the seven words that George Carlin said you can't say.
Okay, all right.
All I can tell you is you open it up, it's very fresh. It has not been sitting on the shelf very long. It's made local here.
Oh, there's Jack right there.
There's
Jack
right there.
Jack Kelly.
You're right.
Can you trust a guy with the last name of Kelly to make ass-kicking
salsa?
Apparently so. It's very good.
All right, if you say so.
Oh, I know her. She's wonderful.
Well, I'll let you.
Nice.
Go ahead and tell us about it.
Well, I've met her. I don't, like, know her that well. My son actually knows her pretty well, but I have tried her jams and jellies. It's Laurel Hill jams and jellies. This one is a Zett's red pepper jam. I believe they're like all natural and
all natural.
Know,
and she has been
they're
a
very,
huge,
very good.
Huge supporter of Grasshoppers for many years. We used to do a little farmers market at our other location, and she's been coming doing farmers markets at our other locations for years, and she's been a great supporter.
Look at this, Mike.
What is
garlic
it?
And Italian herb risotto. yum.
Oh, yeah. Really? Because risotto is not the easiest thing in the world to make.
Right. And that also coincides with this, this very well.
Cucina
Aurora.
She's out of Salem, I do believe.
Out of Salem, and yep. I believe they were just featured on New Hampshire Chronicle
a few weeks ago.
So proud to have their product in. Very popular. Dipping oils in the risotto.
She's a real character, the woman that owns this place.
Absolutely.
I want to say that she has been involved with some kind of witchcraft or something as just kind of a hobby or as a pastime or something.
Can't confirm or deny any of that, to be honest with you.
I seem to recall
her dipping
that.
Oils are good, though.
Oh, yeah, that's the important thing, yes.
Witchcraft?
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, my.
But in a very playful, positive way.
Yeah, okay.
Sure.
All right.
And if I'm wrong, sorry about that.
Swinehearts, signature sauces. That looks Swinehearts? Delicious, too.
Yeah, yes. That would be something for pork? Oh, look at that! Look at the
pig.
Yeah, that looks like Mel Gibson with horns.
There's there's several different flavors of this. Four or five. There's a hot mustard one. There's a kilt sauce. There's a whole bunch of different barbecue sauces and sauces for different meats. Very good on the grill.
From Meredith, New Hampshire.
That's right. Right here local.
Sweet Caroline. I wonder if Neil Diamond is aware that his copyright is being infringed
upon. That's right.
Upon.
Maybe so. This I'm going to pull out of here.
Okay.
Oh.
Spiced apple rings. I just want to tell you a quick story about the spiced apple rings. My partner brought these in.
I have never seen that. That is really cool.
Somebody dropped by and showed us these, and my business partner ended up buying some. And I have a daughter who is 14 years old, and we did a tasting at the grand opening of the store, and my daughter was helping serve some of these. And I kept looking over, and I was like, man, where are all the apples going? And she just kept eating. So she's like, those are the most unbelievable things I've ever eaten in my life. And so her birthday was coming around. She says, Dad, I just want 2 jars of those apples. That's all I want.
Oh, my gosh. That's so cute.
So I understand they are very good. You can use them ice cream. You can use them in drink. Whatever you want for a cinnamon apple.
What
really
kind
good.
Of a sauce is that in? It looks like a clear liquid.
I'm not sure what's in it. It's a sugary, cinnamony.
Yeah. Oh, it sure looks good, though.
Yeah.
Apple
how old is
sugar?
Your daughter?
She'll be 15 this year, so
15, huh?
Yeah, she's probably looking for another couple jars of apples for her birthday,
or a new
among
kind of
other
together.
Things. Now, yeah. Right? Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
Right. Well, this is very tasty so far, and we're only about halfway through.
Yeah. Then we got some nice party dips, some bacon and onion dip mixes, very easy to make. Cream cheese, little sour cream
sure.
cheese, all that. We have a spinach and onion. Where we have vegetable dips, a whole variety of made in Manchester dips. So very easy to make. Mix them together, throw them in the fridge, a couple hours, they cool down, you're ready to go.
I'm going to guess that it's one of the, perks of, having this business, you get to try a lot of this made in New Hampshire
you
stuff.
You have to know what you're talking about,
you
got
to know what you're talking about.
Right.
That's the only reason. It's
exactly.
research.
That's it. It's all research.
All right. What else we got here?
Okay. A couple of, we got these two products.
Is that a balsamic of some sort?
It is balsamic vinaigrette. And this is a blueberry finishing sauce for desserts.
Ooh.
So, and then there's, I believe, two other varieties of the vinaigrettes for
now,
salads.
Now, what variety? Because
this is the cooking
juniper
sauce.
Juniper and rosemary.
Yeah. And there's two others. And it slips my mind what the flavors are.
Right.
But you'll have to come to the store to see that.
Apparently, yes. Yeah.
Then we just have some New Boston maple syrup, which we're carrying maple syrup and all that. And to go with that, we have... some strawberry banana pancake mix and other pancake mixes that we have.
Under your own label, it looks
private
like.
Private label, same people that make the dips right here in Manchester.
Okay,
we
cool.
private labeled that.
Mm-hmm.
And then some local honey. Everybody likes local honey. It's good for you out of Gilsum, New Hampshire. And a lot of baked dips and stuff from Halliday Farms out of Vermont.
That looks really
lobster
good.
Dip?
It's this is like crack.
Really?
Don't need bread or crackers. Just get a spoon.
That. We're on the streets of Manchester.
Right, right.
Okay.
So, but that's a small look into what we have in the store with Country Gifts and Trees, Shrubs, Perennials, Bark Mulch Stone, and other things. So we would love it if people came out and checked us out, and hopefully we can help them out with some product.
We would love here, before we say goodbye, we've got just a few moments left. I've known for a long time, as our listeners have, that you dabble in some acting, and you've been in some movies. The one that comes to mind is you were in one with Adam Sandler. Were you wearing a toga or something?
Actually, I was an extra in Grown Ups 2, and I played John Belushi. I dressed up as John Belushi, one of the Blues Brothers.
Yeah.
I would use that term as me acting loosely. But it was a great experience, and I was fortunate to be able to do that. I would love to do it again someday if the opportunity presented itself. But it's not one of those things that you can just do around every corner. So
you got a business to take care of. I did watch it one night, and I knew what scene it was, and I don't know that I saw you.
Well, there was one second I went over through the whole screen, so you must have got up to go to the bathroom at that point or something.
Did you go out to Marlboro?
Yeah. Yeah.
Marblehead.
Swampscott is where we filmed. Yeah.
Because my son was an extra in that movie.
Is that
as well.
Right?
Yeah. Well, Red Arrow was in it.
That's right. It was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was in the party scene.
Okay.
Yeah, at the end. So, yeah. I filmed for like 8 days, but, you know, obviously I was in it for like a minute. Total,
right.
You know, once they did the editing and
they
stuff.
They made a whole set of the Red Arrow at that toy store right in town.
Yeah.
And they even rented our borrowed our sign from our Milford store, took the sign down, hired a sign company.
How did you get involved?
We were in one of his other movies, and I know him.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've been in contact. Neat's at the Red Arrow quite a bit and stuff. So,
yeah.
But so they did all that, and literally the Red Arrow. If you blink, you'll miss it.
Right.
You know, in the movie, it's
right.
Like you got to.
I know,
know
you're
what
there.
Scene
you think
exactly.
You're gonna have this big broad production, you know, but no, it's when they get done editing, you just don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know, and it's neat. It's neat. It's a neat experience, and
I'd
do it again. It was a lot of time invested, but it was one of those things. Not everybody can say that they've done.
That's
so.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah. So.
Wow. So did I hear that Adam Sandler is the Grand Marshal of the opening parade?
I understand that he is going to be up at the race next weekend. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Or maybe he'll be the gentleman start your engine.
Yeah, I think
it's,
he's done that in other things. So I hear that that's.
I would like to see him doing that just by virtue of the fact that he's probably going to do something outrageous.
Right.
Yeah,
well, I actually heard that on a different radio station this morning on my way to work that they had said that he was going to be there. So, yeah. He's a local guy. Why not?
Well, he pops in and out of town usually without much notice.
He's a great local guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he supports all the local, you know, places and,
absolutely.
You know, and he talks about them and. He's a good guy.
Well, you were sitting at a restaurant here about a month ago.
Yeah, Carrabba's.
And him and his entourage came rolling in, right?
Yeah. No, it's good to have local talent here like that that gives back. And, you know, you might see him walking down Elm Street next week. Who knows?
Into the Red Arrow, right? I mean, you've had calls at home. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you do have the Adam Sandler burger there, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Got to have that.
And Stan the Man's named after his dad.
Yeah.
So,
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's funny. No, I have a relationship with his mom as well. So.
Oh, his mom is so nice.
I'm the only one apparently that doesn't, so we're going to have to change that.
Well, you tried too hard probably, right?
Yeah. I guess I need to stop calling her at 3,
right.
3 in the morning.
Right.
She doesn't appreciate it. Well, Keith Savage of Grasshoppers Garden Center, New Boston, so good to see you again.
Absolutely.
And so we get to take this stuff home?
Absolutely. I'm going to take my box because it's a nice box.
Oh, it is.
You can have the rest of the stuff, and maybe you can use it and try it.
Thank you very much.
Tell us what you think. We'd love feedback.
Check it out.
Good,
sure.
Bad, and the ugly, you know. So from my experience, everything that we have is good stuff.
There's
so.
More cupcakes going by.
I'd be interested to see what your feedback was on it.
Well, certainly. And, you know, don't stay away so long next time.
Absolutely. Well, I'll be back anytime you want me.
Well, we'll get you back. And thank you for being a part of Food for Thought as one of the sponsors. We do appreciate that.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. Have a great weekend.
Good seeing you.
Thanks, pal.
All right. You're
nice meeting you, Carol.
Food for Thought. And we're going to go on a short break. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7. The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. We are live outside our first summer series show, and we're right on the sidewalk here at the right in front of the Beacon Building, and we're also right in front of Grolin Communications, a computer store right here. And come on down, come and say hi. Actually, we're giving away some NASCAR tickets.
Oh, why don't we do that now as we wait for our next guest to come
on
board?
We can do that.
Any way you want to do it, Carol.
You're putting me on the spot.
Putting you on the spot. Welcome to radio.
Well, I guess maybe the first person that comes over and asks for them. How's that?
That's simple and easy, and anybody can do that if you're not too far from downtown. I mean, there are people on the sidewalks, but they don't have radios. They can't hear us say this.
Right.
So nobody's going to beat you that way. Unless
there are people that stream on their computers. So
there
if you're able to take a break, you still have half hour or so, and you can come on down. Just come right up to the table. We're right in front of the Beacon Building, 814 Elm Street. Come and ask for two NASCAR tickets.
Yeah, I'm glad you reminded us about that.
I know.
Because I got so involved with talking to Keith, and before that, the Comedy Cold Cuts. I totally forgot about that. So, yeah, please come by. The race is next Sunday, the 19th, at New Hampshire Speedway. It's the New Hampshire 301. There'll be another race, of course, in September, another major NASCAR stop. But this is a big one, and you could be there. First person, we're at 814 Elm Street, right on the sidewalk. You know, if you're lucky, you can just find a quick place to pull in and park. There's actually a couple spots right across the street that are open right now.
They are.
And we will hand you vouchers. These are vouchers that need to be exchanged for tickets down the road.
Right.
But preferably before next Sunday, because it'll just be a madhouse there.
Right.
And if you can do it early in the week, that would be the best. We are waiting to connect with our next guest, Natasha McCaller, who wrote a really cool cookbook called Vanilla Table. So
I love that name.
I do, too. And I was surprised as I went through the book that it's, you wouldn't think that the central ingredient for some of these things was vanilla.
Right.
Because there are as many savory dishes as there are what we might consider dessert plates.
Right.
And they're very, very good stuff. So as soon as we connect with her, we'll be joined by her on air in just a few moments. Yesterday, of course, it was Michael Hupley Pierce.
Yes.
And he is our beer
Untapped.
Expert. Untapped.
MHP Untapped.
MHP Untapped. Thank you. He also does a podcast called The Tap Handle Show, which is heard by hundreds of thousands of people every week. It's one of the fastest growing podcasts.
Yeah.
And probably one of the biggest ones for beer lovers. And I meant to share this with him yesterday because it has to do with beer. New England beer company DB Export has just invented another way to love beer. Earlier this year, DB Export set out on a mission to turn beer into a biofuel that can be used to power cars. Simon Smith is a spokesman for DB Export. He says, quote, a few guys having a few beers came up with the idea back in February. Now, 5 months later, a Gull petrol station across New Zealand, drivers can fill up their cars with DB Export Brutoleum.
Oh, my
goodness.
Don't
you love that?
Brutoleum.
Which is made from the leftover yeast found in fermented beer, better known as slurry. He says the yeast slurry is passed on to farmers for stock feed, but sometimes it can go to waste. So they're using it kind of like the corn ethanol that is
right.
being used. In fact, I think most of the gas that we get now has some percentage of corn ethanol in it. So now it's yeast slurry. Professor Peter Scales from the University of Melbourne explains that biofuels are broken down into two separate categories. Generation 1 biofuels are made from crops grown specifically to make ethanol, and Generation 2 biofuels are extracted from waste products like DB Export's slurry.
Wow.
So
pretty,
I don't know.
Interesting. I'd like to hear what MHP has to say about that.
You know, and I'm sorry that I didn't bring that up yesterday, but he had a guest and pretty much wanted that segment to be Hop Heads United, I think, was the was the company.
Yes.
Promoting brews. I was at Abel Ebenezer Brewery in Merrimack this
Isn't
morning.
It cool?
For a little project. It's the last place that you might expect to find a place that you could sit down and have a nice beer.
Exactly.
And initially, because I was asking Carl Soderberg, you know, was this his first choice? And he told me that he had initially hoped to open one in Auburn, which is where he lived, just 4 miles from his house, but there were just too many hoops to jump through, so it didn't work out. What's the latest here on our guest?
I don't think this is our guest, but we have
Laura, a caller?
Laura on the phone.
Okay, as we wait to Natasha McCaller. All right. Go ahead, caller.
Laura?
Hello? All right, nobody there.
Okay.
Well, we are away from our main computer screen, so it's a little bit more difficult to navigate. We're out on the street broadcasting in the beautiful sunshine, but now the sun has moved around. We've got shadows, and it's just a very beautiful day.
And to remind people, if you come on over to the right in front of Beacon Building, come and ask for two NASCAR tickets for next week's race. We're giving two of them away, so come on down. And I also want to remind people, too, July 25th, that's in a couple weeks, the Granite State Brewers Association is going to be having a summer fest right over in Arms Park. You can get your tickets at brownpapertickets.com, and it sounds like it's going to be a really fun event. There's all different kinds of entries. There's VIP entry, designated driver entries, general admission, and VIP admission as well. So that sounds like it's going to be a really fun time. And
all right, so here's the deal.
What is the deal?
You know, I've been doing radio a long time, and very often you have guests, and they're at hotels, and you call them, and you have to have their last name, and typically they'll put you through. Well, the hotel will not connect on our behalf to Natasha McCollar, who is our guest standing by, probably wondering why we haven't called. So it must be some fancy, you know, highfalutin hotel that is not...
bummer.
So we're still working on it, hoping to make it happen. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, some other things in the world of food. This should be no surprise. And by the way, we also want to let you know we still have the NASCAR tickets. We just put them up for grabs a few minutes ago. First person to stop by 814 Elm Street in Manchester, two tickets to the New Hampshire 301, which is coming up next Sunday.
Today's food holiday.
Oh, good.
We could go for one of these right now. It's National Pina Colada Day.
You know, I'm not a pina colada guy. Are you?
You know, I generally don't have those because they're fattening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a lot of calories in that. But when I do go to the islands, I will drink pina coladas.
Yeah.
I just do.
When in Bahamas do as the Bahamians do,
exactly.
I guess.
Exactly. You know, we have vacation in Grand Cayman. I have a timeshare there. And you know what they're famous for?
I have no idea.
Hiding your money? They are famous for mudslides.
Oh, they are?
Mudslides.
I love mudslides.
And, you know, when you go to places that have mudslides, because I'm like a mudslide snob, mm-hmm. like from the back room.
Yep.
They have the best ones. And... lots of people put cream in them and, you know, ice cream.
You don't like it that way?
No.
So you don't like it frozen?
Of course.
Okay.
But you don't, like the back room is just ice.
It's ice.
Kahlua? Kahlua, Bailey's, and vodka. That's all it is.
And that's it, huh?
That is it. And Grand Cayman does it the same exact way.
Oh, so you got lucky there.
I was very pleased that they do it that way.
The question is, do they have chicken fingers? But that is a question for another day. I'm told that we finally have our connection made to our guest, Natasha McCollar, who is the author of Vanilla Table, The Essence of Exquisite Cooking from the World's Best Chefs. She's also known as the Dancing Chef. And I have to tell you, Natasha, we were doing a tap dance because we couldn't get through to your room. You must have armored guards taking care of you very well there.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Yes, there are several. There are actually several of them. But, no, not really. It's just all about New York.
I got that. Well, thank you for joining us. And the reason I alluded to you as a dancing chef is because you had a first career as a professional ballerina, and you did spend some time in our area with the Boston Ballet, true?
I absolutely did, and Boston to this day is still my favorite city. I love visiting there. I was there a few months ago and just had such a lovely time, and it's grown and changed. Oh, my goodness, has it changed. But a delight to be back.
So did you, in those 5 years that you danced for the Boston Ballet, did you ever have a chance to, on an off day, perhaps get up to New Hampshire, where we are?
I went to New Hampshire a couple of times, visited. One of the dancers in the company was from New Hampshire, and, oh, my goodness, what a beautiful place. And my favorite thing is the fall. I love the color. And coming from California, we don't really have seasons. We just have summer, pretty much. So it's... New Hampshire has such fond memories of the beautiful trees and the countryside and the lovely cities, too.
Well, that's of course, another discussion for another day. But I have to admit that I have done a little ballet work myself, and everybody's looking at me like...
Oh.
I played... typically, every year I play the part of Mother Ginger in the Nutcracker. But that of course, is... That's a whole other spice. That's a different book, a different author. So let's get back to you, which is vanilla. And I didn't see this one coming. I couldn't imagine a vanilla cookbook, but once I opened it up, I was amazed at the variety of not only, you know, dessert plates, but your savory dishes as well.
Oh, absolutely. It's a whole vanilla adventure in Vanilla Table. And I was amazed with some of the dishes that some of my contributing chefs came up with. For instance, mushrooms and vanilla. sounds a very strange combination. I was quite skeptical. And when we made the dish for the book to photograph it, we couldn't stop licking the bowl. It was absolutely delicious. It just paired beautifully. I know. It's a super shock.
Who would have thought?
Who would have? Yeah. The thing that I discovered is that, well, first of all, if you've ever been very naughty as a kid and thought, oh, this vanilla smells so good, I'm going to taste some vanilla extract, you'll never forget that experience because it's not sweet at all. It's actually bitter. It's nasty. It smells great. But what I found researching vanilla table and tasting all sorts of things is that it pairs beautifully with that fifth taste, umami, that meaty taste. And I've been surprised again and again from steak to chicken to fish dishes. It just, it blends, it gives, it enhances the flavor of all the dishes, and dishes that aren't sweet. So you don't have to have sugar with vanilla, believe it or not. And yet, our vanilla memory, as a child, a childhood memory, of course, is something like ice cream, right? Cake, grandma's kitchen. But we've got so many other things in the book to explore and taste and be pleasantly surprised.
Well, you know, Natasha, since you did mention childhood memories, I do have to have you tell the story of when you were a young six-year-old ballerina. What was the vanilla connection at that age for you?
My vanilla connection was my mother used to spritz me with vanilla perfume on my way into ballet class. And so I loved the smell of vanilla because it gave me such great memories and delight for going to my ballet lessons. I was a little obsessed with ballet. I loved it, and I always kept a little vial of vanilla perfume on my dressing room table throughout my whole dance career. So it started with perfume, and then became beautiful all sorts of dishes.
You know, just talking about your mom, I loved your recalling of how she essentially learned how to cook thanks to Julia Child.
Yes, she did. She did. She would watch that television show religiously, and she would try and recreate what Julia had been cooking that day. And a lot of times it was delicious, and then there were times when it was a little too creative for an 8-year-old's palate. So we resorted to wagon wheels and cheese. Still my favorite, macaroni and cheese.
So you obviously you got to taste all of the stuff that is in the cookbook, correct?
From the other chef.
Yes. So you need to talk to me about this vanilla Shiraz gravy.
Ooh, vanilla Shiraz gravy. That's with the oxtail pot pie.
Yes.
It just sounds beautiful.
It must be.
It's a simple dish that you can make either in a crock pot or in a big casserole on the stove, a big Dutch oven, and just leave it to simmer down with beef stock and oxtail and whole heads of garlic and carrots and parsnips and oh my, and then this beautiful Shiraz or Zinfandel, you know, a spicy red wine, and then whole vanilla pods that are split and left in there to simmer. It's just absolutely gorgeous.
You know, Mike, like you said earlier, you don't think of vanilla as being savory. But, you know, the more that we're talking about this and she's explaining it, I can't wait to try one of these.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't think to do it.
It's funny
like
that you brought up the oxtail pot pie because I was looking at that last night trying to figure out if I could pull that together because I make homemade chicken pot pies, but I've never done an oxtail pot pie. And then the added intrigue of vanilla, so that may be a weekend project for me. I don't know. We'll have to see.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah, I'm somewhat inspired by that. And the trifle. All right, I got to ask you about the trifle. Now, the trifle looks fantastic, and I think you made that in New Zealand, right? Because you found that the Hailala vanilla is perhaps one of your favorite vanilla types from around the world.
It is. I love this vanilla. It's so beautifully made, and it's organic and fair trade, and it was started as an aid project in Tonga, and they're now winning awards for this beautiful vanilla. And we another chef, Peter Gordon, who's a British and New Zealand chef, and I were invited to the plantation, so not only did we cook, we learned how to pick vanilla. There's a specific technique, and they watched us very carefully picking this vanilla, because if you crack the top of it, it grows, it goes from a grade A to a grade C. So it was very careful. It was like being in a jewelry shop, and the people very carefully watching your every move, because it's actually so it's a valuable ingredient. And so I created this Tonga trifle for the event with rum and vanilla and all sorts of lovely layers of rum cake and fudge and white chocolate pastry cream, and then topped it off with vanilla candied bacon bits.
All right, so what is
so
the
a very
secret?
Different trifle.
Oh, it is, and it's not just three layers, folks. I mean, it looks like it's about 10 or 12. What is the secret? Because when I try to make a trifle, it ends up looking like a Van Gogh painting. It's just a mess.
Well, you just do the layers. You want to make them thick enough, but you also want to have the rum kind of drizzle through it. And I guess with the layers of that gooey caramel and the gooey fudge and the pastry cream, it all just comes together. I would say just not over soaking the cake layers too much, because once you bite into it, all of those lovely flavors and the rum and the vanilla will all make your tummy happy and smiling face.
We need to take a break. Natasha, can you stay on for a few more moments?
Certainly. I'd love to.
Okay, we'll take a quick break. We'll keep you till about 55 past the hour. Speaking with Natasha McCaller, her book is Vanilla Table, The Essence of Exquisite Cooking from the World's Best Chefs. Dozens contributed wonderful recipes, both savory and sweet, and everything in between. And we'll be back on the Pulse WTPL right after these words.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. We're live outside the Beacon Building, 814 Elm Street. And just so that listeners know, we did give away the two NASCAR tickets to Alan from Manchester. He came right up. He was all excited, so he's going to go to the game, go to the race. That'll be really good. And we are also talking with Natasha McCaller, author of The Vanilla Table, and sounds like a fantastic cookbook.
Well, it is indeed. And Natasha, thank you for hanging with us a few extra minutes. What I really appreciated about your book, and I see more cookbooks doing this, is that you give us the recipe portions or increments, not only in volume, but as well in metric and U.S. weights. Very, very helpful. Thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. It was my pleasure. I wanted to make it as simple and clear for everyone, so you can take the book out on a boat or out to the cabin, but you could also use a scale.
So, people have heard of is Madagascar, which I think is the world's largest provider of vanilla, but there are other places. And what I find interesting, and I didn't realize, is that the actual characteristics of the taste of vanilla depend largely on how it is cured. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yes. There are four basic curing techniques, and that defines the type of vanilla. The real workhorse, of course, is bourbon vanilla, Madagascan vanilla. It's called bourbon vanilla. People think, oh, is there bourbon in it? And it goes great with bourbon, but bourbon vanilla is actually was first a slave on Île de Bourbon, which was a French island. It's now called Reunion Island. It's near Madagascar. He figured out a way to pollinate the vanilla flower, the orchid flower, and so that's when vanilla could actually be profitable. It could be made in mass quantities, and so that's why it's called bourbon vanilla, because it's from Île de Bourbon. So that's a little vanilla trivia, and that's the real workhorse. That's your basic go-to vanilla. There's Mexican vanilla, which is cured near it's baked almost near an oven, so it has more spicy qualities. It pairs really well with coffee and chocolate and lovely peppery spices. Indonesian vanilla, which is now up and coming. It's growing crazily in Indonesia, and that is actually dried near an open flame, so it has smoky qualities, and it works really well. It'll work great in the oxtail pot pies. It's great for long cooking dishes, you know, to put in the New England baked beans or marinades. And then you have the Tahitian vanilla, which is a different variety. It's grown in smaller quantities, so it's much more expensive, but it has a beautiful perfumey characteristic, and it's great for fresh fruits and creams and angel food cake, my favorite. So those are the different varieties, and you can mix them up.
All right, so what I didn't realize, again, I learned so much about vanilla. It's an interesting topic, is that the pollination actually occurs manually by hand, and there's a very limited window with which to do that, and there's only a certain bee, right, that will actually be a partner in this pollination?
Yes, there is only one bee, the Meliponia bee in Mexico, which is where vanilla was first actually grown, because this tiny spider bee gets in there and pollinates the little flower. The orchid flower only has from sunrise until about midday before it withers and dies. And if you don't pollinate that flower, you won't get a vanilla bean. So it's
I've had
it's,
so many relationships and, like that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Very good.
Mike.
So it's Friday.
Yeah, it
right,
is.
Right, it is.
It's Friday and it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
I apologize for him.
Yes.
Right.
Thank you. Well, I'll let you finish your thought and then we have to wrap up because we are up against the clock. If you can even remember what
okay.
it was. Well, anyway.
Just enjoy vanilla and create your own vanilla memories. And there are so many things you can do with it. And this is the book to have a look through, to spark your own ideas.
So if it hadn't been for this, seriously, were you thinking about being a sports psychologist?
A physical therapist or a sports psychologist, yes, indeed. Absolutely.
Okay.
But I've always loved to cook, so I'm so fortunate that I've been able to do something that I love to do a second time.
Well, in your honor, I've been standing in second position all during this interview from the ballet days, so I just want you to know that.
Oh, I am very impressed. I'm gonna hold on to that thought. Thank you.
Thank you for being so playful and sharing some really great thoughts. Vanilla Table, the essence of exquisite cooking from the world's best chefs, Natasha McCaller. All things vanilla right there in that book. It's a beautiful book to look at and cook from. Hey, Natasha, have a great weekend.
Thank you. It's been such a pleasure, both to you and Carol, and happy vanilla adventures.
Yes. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, there you go. That was fun. A nice way to end the week. You never know if an author's going to have a sense of humor, but I somehow sense that she
had one.
Well, thank goodness.
Thank goodness is right.
Hey, next week, we're going to talk to Michael Simon.
I know.
Chef
that's
Michael Simon.
I can't wait.
Now, we don't get to
From
watch
The
Chew because it's on at 1 o'clock, and
right.
we're doing Food for Thought at that time. But he will be joining us next week.
I like him.
Yeah, I do too.
He seems like a fun guy.
I have never seen him cranky or crabby or grumpy. He's always got a smile on his face, and the man is all about meat. So we're all going to get along just fine.
I think so. I think it'll be good. All right, well, this wraps it up for the week. Beautiful day out here. We've been seeing all kinds of people walking by. It's been very fun. And Kale and Company is up next, and we'll see everybody next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.